When Abraham is 137 years old and Isaac is 37, Sarah dies at the age of 127. Abraham does not have a proper place to bury her, and Isaac is not married yet. Sarah never knows her daughter-in-law, Rebekah, or her grandchildren, Jacob and Esau. Abraham goes over and he visits Heth the Hittite and asks him to help him arrange with Ephron the Hittite to buy the cave that faces the Oaks of Mamre, where Abram once lived for a long time. Ephron just wants to give the cave to Abraham, but Abraham will not accept it. They work out terms, and Abraham pays 400 pieces of silver for the cave. For the 400 pieces of silver, Ephron deeds the cave to Abraham and the field and the trees in the field. Finally, Abraham now owns a piece of the land in the Promised Land, and he buries Sarah there, fulfilling scriptures with the purchase of the cave. The Hittites are descendants of Canaan, and they are still rendering service to the descendants of Shem. Remembering the news of his brother's great blessing with all the children and grandchildren, Abraham calls his oldest servant and makes him promise to select a wife for Isaac from his brother's family and not from the Canaanite people. When Abraham tells him to get a bride for Isaac, the servant asks, "But what if a woman will not return with me?" "The Lord has made a promise, and he will send an angel before you," Abraham replies. Therefore, the servant takes 10 camels and travels to Nahor's well in northwestern Mesopotamia. At the well, the servant waits for all the women to come at evening to draw the water. "If a woman happens to give me a drink and will also water my camels too, she will be the one for Isaac," he says to himself. Rebekah comes, and the servant asks for a drink, and she not only gives him a drink, but she also waters the camel. And when she is finished, he gives her a ring and two bracelets, and he asks if there is room at her home for him to lodge. She takes him to her brother, and he spends the night. Now, her brother is Laban. Laban gives him straw for his bed and water to wash his feet. He also offers him food, but the servant will not eat until his business is complete. He asks Rebekah to return with him for Isaac, but Laban and his father will not answer for Rebekah, so they allow her to make the decision. She agrees, and the servant gives them more gifts of silver and gold. Soon they leave to meet Isaac, and Rebekah takes her nurse and maids along. Laban and her father bless her, saying, "May she possess the gates of her enemies." Down in Beersheba, she sees Isaac at a distance praying in the field. She covers her face with a veil, and when they come near to Isaac, she gets down off the camel, and they go into Sarah's tent, where they become husband and wife. Isaac's new wife brings him comfort after Sarah's death. After the death of Sarah, Abraham lives 38 more years. He marries Keturah shortly after Sarah's death. Now, Keturah gives Abraham 5 more sons, and those sons give Abraham 6 grandsons, as well as many other daughters and granddaughters. Abraham also takes several concubines and has many other sons and grandsons, as well as daughters and granddaughters with them. After being married for 20 years, Isaac and Rebekah still do not have a child. Isaac finally prays, and the Lord blesses him with twins who struggle in Rebekah's womb during the pregnancy. "Two nations are in the womb," the Lord says, "and the older will serve the younger." The first boy is red and hairy, so they name him Esau. The second comes out holding the heel of his first, so they name him Jacob. As they grow, Esau becomes a very skillful hunter, and Jacob is a peaceful man who actually stays near the home and near the kitchen. Isaac loves Esau. Rebekah loves Jacob. And one day Esau is famished and he smells Jacob's red stew. "Let me have some," Esau says. "Sell me your birthright for the stew," Jacob replies. "I'm about to die," Esau says. "What use is my birthright? Swear to me," Jacob says. And Esau eats the red stew with the bread. Because Esau eats the red stew, Edom becomes the name of his descendants. Edom meaning red stuff. About that time, Shem dies. He is the oldest of the sons of Noah, who was on the ark with his father during the flood. Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, and all the relatives living in the Euphrates probably knew him. Isaac is now 58 when Shem dies. Just before Abraham dies at the age of 175, he wills everything to Isaac, but he also gives gifts to all of his other sons, and he sends them off to the east to live. At his death, Isaac and Ishmael bury Abraham with Sarah in the cave, but Isaac continues to live in Beersheba, and Ishmael returns to Havilah, just east of Egypt. The scripture tells us of the descendants of Ishmael and also of Isaac's relationship to Rebekah. Ishmael has 12 sons. As far as Isaac's relationship to Rebekah, Terah is the father of both Abraham and Nahor. Abraham has Isaac, Nahor has a son by the name of Bethuel, and he has a daughter named Rebekah. Rebekah becomes Isaac's wife. They are cousins. Another famine occurs in the land, and Isaac is worried about his family's welfare. The Lord warns him not to go to Egypt, but to stay home, and he will bless him. Isaac is in the land of Abimelech, the Philistine. It's the same Abimelech who Abraham and Sarah lied to. Like his father Abraham, Isaac tells Rebekah to say she is his sister and not his wife because she is so beautiful. Now, one day, Abimelech sees Isaac with Rebekah, and he's caressing her, and he knows Isaac has lied to him. Abimelech rebukes Isaac, saying, "What if a man had taken Rebekah? You would have brought guilt on the Philistines." So Abimelech sends out word to all the men not to touch Rebekah. Isaac stays in Abimelech's land, and he plants crops that multiply to 100-fold in spite of all the famine that is happening and in spite of Abimelech's men filling in Abraham's wells with dirt. Abimelech asks Isaac to move because his Philistines are envious of him and his prosperity. Isaac moves on into the valley, and he digs the dirt out of one of Abraham's wells. While he's digging out the dirt, the Philistines argue about the ownership of the well, and Isaac moves and digs a different well so they will not argue. He names it Rehoboth, meaning, "At last the Lord has made room for us." And the Lord blesses Abraham now, and they are back in Beersheba and confirms the promise given to Abraham. Isaac builds an altar, he pitches his tent, and he digs a well there for his family. Now Abimelech comes to Isaac, and he asks Isaac, "Why do you despise me?" He says, "The Lord has been with you, and we have come to make a covenant with you for no harm." So they make a feast to celebrate the oath, and in the morning the servants arrive to tell Isaac that they have found water in the new well, so he names the well Sheba, or Beersheba, because the well, which Isaac's men are attempting to reopen, is the same well Abraham had named years before. When Esau turns 40, he marries Judith the Hittite, and it grieves both Isaac and Rebekah because she is a Canaanite. As Isaac grows old, it is time to give the birthright to his son Esau. He calls Esau and tells him to hunt for a celebration meat to eat at the blessing. Rebekah hears the plan and conspires with Jacob, telling him to bring two choice kids from the flock, and I will make a savory dish, and he will bless you, Rebekah says to him. But Esau is hairy, and your father will know and curse me. Your curse will be on me, Rebekah says. Therefore, Jacob puts on the skin of a kid while Rebekah makes the food. Jacob pretends to be Esau, and Isaac blesses him with the birthright. As soon as Isaac finishes blessing Jacob, Esau arrives and makes a savory dish. And when it is ready, he goes into Isaac for the blessing, but it's too late. Isaac trembles violently, knowing that he has been deceived. Esau cries bitterly, "Bless me. Bless me, even me also, O my father. Jacob has taken my birthright and my blessing." But Isaac has made Jacob Esau's master. "By your sword you shall live, but when you become restless, you shall break his yoke from your neck," Isaac says. And Esau is furious, and Rebekah tells Jacob to run to her family in Haran. Rebekah says she cannot stand the daughters of Heth the Hittite, and she does not want Jacob to marry one of them. Isaac tells Jacob and blesses him, instructing him not to take a Canaanite wife, but to marry a woman from Laban's family. Esau sees the blessing of Jacob, and he hears that his wives have displeased his parents. So Esau goes to Ishmael, and he marries his daughter. Now Esau has several wives. Jacob leaves Beersheba, and he heads towards Haran. And that night he stays at Luz, where he rests his head on a stone. In his dream, he sees a ladder reaching from the earth to the heavens with angels going up and down. The Lord speaks to Jacob and promises to bless him and give him descendants as numerous as the dust of the earth. The Lord instructs him to walk the land from north to south and east to west because it will all be his one day. The next morning, Jacob is afraid and he names that place the house of God, the gate of heaven. Jacob takes a rock and pours oil on it, sets it up as a pillar, and calls the place Bethel. If God will clothe and feed Jacob and provide a safe return, the Lord will be Jacob's God, he says. Therefore, Jacob sets the stone that will one day be the place of God's house and pledges to give the Lord 10% of all that he has. Just outside Haran in northwestern Mesopotamia, Jacob stops at a well where he finds some shepherds. It is the middle of the day, and Jacob does not understand why they have not watered their sheep and put them back in the pasture. The well has a large stone on it, and they are waiting for the owners to remove the stone. Jacob sees Rachel coming down the road with her sheep and discovers that the well belongs to her father, Laban, his mother's brother. Jacob removes the stone, waters the sheep, and then he kisses Rachel. He is in love. He tells her he is her father's relative, and she runs to tell Laban the news. Jacob is 71 years old. Laban comes to meet Jacob, and he is thrilled that he is there. Laban offers a place to stay, and Jacob begins to work for him. After a month, Laban says, "You cannot work for free. What is your wage?" Jacob asks if he can work for 7 years for Rachel, and Laban agrees. The 7 years seem to fly by for Jacob. And at the wedding feast, Laban tricks Jacob by sending Leah into the wedding chamber. And in the morning, Jacob discovers the deception and asks Laban, "Why have you tricked me?" Laban says that it is not the custom to allow the younger daughter to marry before the older. So Jacob asks if he can work another 7 years for Rachel, and Laban agrees again at once. During the first 7 years of marriage, Leah cannot bear children. When Jacob marries Rachel, the Lord sees that Jacob loves her more than Leah. So he allows Leah to start having children, giving him 4 boys, and then she cannot have any more children for a while. Laban has given each of his girls a maid as a wedding present. Rachel cannot bear children, so she asks Jacob to give her a child through her maid Bilhah. Jacob agrees, and she gives him 2 boys. Leah, jealous of Rachel, also asked Jacob to give her children with her maid. Likewise, Jacob agrees, and Zilohi gives her 2 boys. During the harvest, Rachel asks Leah for some mandrakes that Reuben has harvested. Leah makes a deal. She will give Rachel the mandrakes if she can try again to have children with Jacob. Rachel agrees. "Jacob, I have purchased you from Rachel," Leah says, and they have 2 more boys and a girl. Finally, the Lord opens the womb of Rachel, and she gives birth to a boy, Joseph. Now, during the same year that Joseph is born, Jacob decides it is time to return to the Promised Land, but Laban does not want to let the family go because he cannot figure out how to divide the herds. So Jacob asks for all the undesirable spotted and striped cattle that are born, and Laban agrees. So Jacob takes rods from a tree branch and peels back the bark, forming stripes on the staff. He puts the rods by the watering hole, and the spotted and the striped cattle have babies, but the others do not. And within a year, Jacob's herd is larger than Laban's. After 20 years of service to Laban, Jacob gathers all his family, his flocks, and he heads back to the Promised Land. Laban hears of his departure, and he rushes to catch up with them. "Why are you stealing my family and herd?" Laban asks. "For 20 years I have worked for you. You have cheated me and changed my wages 10 times. It is now time for me to go." So the two make a covenant because Laban wants to make sure that Jacob does not mistreat his daughters or take any more wives. They set a stone as a pillar to symbolize the covenant, and Jacob calls the place God's camp, Mahanaim. Therefore, Jacob, the 2 wives, the 2 maids, 11 sons, and 1 daughter journeyed to the land of Canaan with many servants. Jacob sends his servant to tell Esau of his plans to come his way with his family and property. But the servant returns to tell Jacob that Esau is coming to meet him with 400 men. Jacob is frightened and he cries out to God for help. He tells his servants to cut out 540 head of his cattle and send them on ahead. If Esau asks, tell him these animals belong to him, Jacob says. He also divides his family into two groups, so if Esau attacks one group, the other can escape. That night, he takes his wives, his maids, and his children to a safe place across the stream, and he stays on the other side by himself. Jacob wrestles with an angel all night long, and when day is about to break, the angel says, "Let me go," but Jacob will not do it unless he blesses him. The angel touches Jacob's hip socket and makes him lame for the rest of his life, but he also blesses him. The angel says, "Your name will be Israel." "What is your name?" Jacob asks. "Why do you ask?" the angel replies. "Because I have seen God face to face and prevailed." So Jacob names the place Peniel. Then Jacob looks up and he sees Esau coming. Hurriedly, Jacob places the cattle in front as planned, followed by his wives and children, with Joseph and Rachel last. And Jacob goes ahead of them to meet his brother. As Esau comes near, he runs to Jacob, embraces him, falls on his neck, and kisses him repeatedly. "Who are all these?" Esau asks. "They are mine," Jacob replies. "And the cattle in front of you are yours." "No," Esau says, "I have plenty." "They are gifts," Jacob says, so Esau accepts them. After spending the day together, Esau returns to his home in Edom, and Jacob moves on to Succoth and then to Shechem. The twins, Jacob and Esau, are 91 years old. Reuben, Jacob's oldest son, is no more than 15 years old. Joseph, Jacob's youngest, is 1 year old. Jacob's other children are all between the ages of 2 and 14. Arriving at the place where he wants to settle down, Jacob purchases a piece of land for 100 pieces of silver. He pitches his tent and he builds an altar there. He names the town after the owner, Shechem, a son of Hamor the Hivite. Now Shechem sees Jacob's daughter, Dinah, and he defiles her sexually. He then asks Jacob to let him have her as a wife. Since the boys are out in the field, Jacob does not tell the story to his sons until they've come back. Hamor also comes to ask for Dinah for his son. Rejected, Shechem begins begging Jacob to let Dinah marry him and all of his sons intermarry with the Hivite. Shechem is willing to give Jacob anything for Dinah as a bridal payment. The brothers will not allow it because the Hivites are descendants of Canaan, uncircumcised. Therefore, Hamor and Shechem agree to circumcise themselves and their entire family. On the third day, when the men are all in terrible pain, Simon and Levi kill all the men with their swords, capturing all their flocks and wealth as payment. Jacob hears the news and is fearful because of the Canaanite relatives of the Hivites who live in the land. Jacob scorns the two sons, but they will not repent. Well, God then moves Jacob from Shechem on down to Bethel, where he builds an altar. There, Jacob demands that his entire household put away their foreign gods, wash themselves, change their clothing, and worship God at Bethel. Jacob hides all the gods and earrings under an oak tree in Shechem. Before Jacob names the place Bethel, the Canaanites called it Luz. God spoke to Jacob at Luz many years before when he ran from Esau. Abraham also built his altar there after leaving his father's home in Haran. Rebekah's nurse, Deborah, dies, and they bury her under the oak tree. Once again, God speaks to Jacob, changing his name to Israel, promising also to give him the land promised to Abraham and Isaac. Jacob names the place Bethel, sets up a pillar of stone, and pours oil on it to consecrate the place. Leaving Bethel, Jacob and his company move on to the place that will later be called Bethlehem, where Rachel gives birth to Benjamin and dies. Jacob buries her there and puts a pillar of stones over her grave. Heartbroken, Jacob, now called Israel, moves his family on to Eder, where they will begin life without Rachel. While living in Eder, Reuben sins against his father by taking Bilhah, Rachel's maid and Jacob's concubine, and has a sexual relationship with her. Israel hears the news but does nothing about it at the time, he will not forget it, and neither will Reuben. At this point in the Bible record, the Lord gives us the names of the direct descendants of Esau. They are important to us because they will help identify relationships later in the story. It includes Esau and his three wives with their children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, Seir the Horite and his descendants, as well as the kings of Edom and the chiefs of Edom, all of which will play a major role in all the rest of history.